Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Maybe God's going, no, Michael, I need you smack dab in the trial. Why? Because when you're in the trial, dude, that's when you're closest to me. And actually, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Your proximity to me. Amen? Can you imagine that being your prayer? Lord, keep me in the fire continually if it means that I'll be able to see you clearly.
Today, Pastor Michael will remind us of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fiery furnace when they refused to bow down before King Nebuchadnezzar. In the midst of that intense fire, so intense that it killed the soldiers that threw them in, they were kept safe by a mysterious fourth man that appeared. Many believe that man was Jesus. Even when Nebuchadnezzar called them out, they didn't want to come out. They preferred to stay in the fire with their Savior. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
Last time we started chapter 1, we got all the way through verse 8. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 9, but just as a little bit of reminder of where we're at here, we pointed this out last week, but Peter is the author. He's writing to a group of believers. Okay, these are people that already believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. They already believe in him, but they've been undergoing some serious turmoil and trials and persecution. However, Peter is not just writing them this letter to say, hey, I understand that you guys are going through persecution. He's writing them to let them know that the persecution is about to intensify in a big time way. Actually, within a year of his writing this letter, Caesar Nero, we talked a lot about this last time, but Caesar Nero just literally lost his mind, went berserk, and was killing millions of Christians, people that were followers of the way, throwing them to the lions and crucifying them, beheading them, lighting them on fire, all kinds of things like that. So that's the climate of 1 Peter. Peter's saying, I know you guys are going through stuff, but hey, it's about to get even worse. It's going to intensify. Today, we talked about, you know, the fact that we're not living in those kinds of days. Obviously, people aren't being murdered or anything for being a Christian in America. It is happening in other parts of the world, but not necessarily here. But we are seeing the attack, if I can say it that way, against the church intensifying in a big time way. I just believe that that's the case. Today, we have a young lady in our church. Her name is Darla, and she came and cleans out the garden area. Have you guys noticed where it says the Alpine Chapel here in the front of the church? And she works really hard at keeping that really beautiful. And today, she put a lot of hours in cleaning that up. And she had on the rock outside, she had all these crystals lined up. And she's like, Pastor Michael, what's up with these crystals? And I was like, I have no idea what's up with those crystals. You know, she goes, I find them in here all the time. I dig them up and I throw them away. And next time I come in, there's more. It's like people are planting these weird, funky crystals in our garden here. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. Keep throwing them away. Greater is he who's in us. You know, I don't know what that's about. People might say, oh, you're being a little weird. I don't know what that means. To me, they have a lot of new agey type background to those things. But I'm going to tell you what, the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And so I'm just trying to say, you know, we come to church and everything's groovy, but is it a beyond reason to think that there might be people that would be praying against the local churches? I don't think it's too much to fathom. I think there's a real enemy, and if he can divide and conquer, if he can divide the church and get us fighting and backbiting against each other, that he can conquer. And so, you know, that's how you do it in war. It's the individual platoons. If you can cause division in the individual platoons and split them up, you can win the war. I believe the same is true with the church. And so anyway, all that's not in my notes. I'm in trouble when I don't stick to my notes. But I just want to say, I think that, you know, we got to keep fighting and going forward. And so, you know, we're not living with Caesar Nero trying to behead us and burn us at the stake. But at the same time, we live in a culture that's very anti-God. very anti-God, anti-Christian values. And so we as the body of Christ read 1 Peter, man, and I'm encouraged. It's like, okay, these are things that God is speaking through his Spirit to us as well. And let me just say this to you. I believe, and I said this last time, but I believe that trials that we go through, they strengthen our faith in the Lord and they deepen our love for the Lord. When somebody's going through trials, when they're facing things like that, you find this depth of commitment and passion like you just don't see. They say that during seasons when the church is persecuted the most, it grows the most. The largest church in America today is pastored by a guy named Pastor Yonggi Cho. I think I'm saying that right. It's in China. Listen, I read a book. This is about 5 years old now. But at the time of the writing of the book, the guy was meeting. He was having church services in a football stadium. And they were packing it out. I want to say it held like 58,000 people. And they were having 12 services a weekend, packing it out, 58 grand. And if you went to the church, you got a letter asking you to only come once a month. 12 service, do the math. You know, we freak out and say, man, Joel Olstein's church has 35,000. That's huge. Nothing compared to this largest church that's rocking. And by the way, more people meet underground in the communist areas of China and stuff and watch Pastor Cho online than are even in the stadiums. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to the Lord, and the biggest part of his church is growing where it's illegal to meet. That's crazy. You know, bring on persecution, man. If it means that we're going to be growing deeper in our relationship with the Lord, bring it on. So anyway, in verse 8, we read, I told you, we ended it with like one of my very favorite verses here, that though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. The older translations say, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I told you, I love that verse because here's people Peter's writing to. Peter had walked with these guys, with the Lord, I'm sorry, for 3 to 3.5 years. He'd walked with them. He'd seen him. He'd seen him do all these miracle things. He saw him resurrect from the dead. And Peter's looking at these people who are going through all these trials, and he's complimenting them. And he's saying, you guys love Jesus. I saw him. I walked with him. And you guys love him more than I do. This is crazy. And you are rejoicing with inexpressible and glorious joy, with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Let me tell you something. We have never seen that. I'm going to suggest to you, Peter had never seen that. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 17, Peter is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he looks up and there's Jesus. What happens to Jesus? He begins glowing. Okay, now listen. I don't know what you think the glory of the Lord might look like, but I have a feeling that that's what it looks like. Whatever Peter saw up on that mountain, Jesus is glowing, and then boom, here comes Moses. And right next to on the other side is Elijah, representing the prophets and representing the law. And all three are glowing, remember? And what does Peter say? Peter's like, this is awesome! We should build 3 tents here, one for you, one for you, one for you. We should hang out here forever. This is awesome. Okay, that's glory. It's obviously not unspeakable glory because Peter is speaking. Are you with me? It says here, Peter's complimenting these guys here, saying you have this, you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. So Peter knows the glory of the Lord, but doesn't even understand it like these people are experiencing it. Peter understands it in, he expressed, you guys following me here, I don't know if that makes sense. He was able to speak is what I'm saying. It was awesome. It was powerful. It blew your face off. It was great to see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus glowing in the dark. Woohoo! But he could talk about it. Now, Peter's talking to the audience and he's going, you guys, you believe in someone you've never seen before. And here's the deal. You're rejoicing in the midst of the trials and the dispersion. You guys have had to disperse to all these other areas of the empire. And you guys rejoice. You can't even speak. It's so awesome. What's the difference between Moses and Elijah and Jesus glowing in the dark on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter being able to speak and what these people are experiencing. What's the difference? Gang, the only difference is this. It's the trials. It's the trials that they're going through. This is what we're programmed to think. Trials suck. Can I say it that way? I just did. There you go. This is how we think. Oh, when I go, hard times stink. I don't like hard times. Hard times are horrible. Remember when James, in his letter, James chapter 1, I think it's verse 2, he says, consider it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Why would James ever say that? That sounds like a really pastor churchy thing to say. Just consider it happiness when you're going through crappy times. Just smile and say, woohoo! Like we have to somehow muster it up or something. No, 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 no. When we are in the midst of all hell breaking loose and we still find our joy in the Lord, it is a glory that is unspeakable, man. You can't even, it is the greatest. And I think this is what Peter sees in these people. He's like, you guys are blowing me away because you're living through the worst type of conditions. And here's the good news. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And yet you've maintained that love for the Lord. And that's the kind of glory that we're having. Anyway, when we're in the trials, gang, and I know we're programmed to think differently, but when we're in the trials, that's where Jesus can be seen the best. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go? Three Hebrew children, man. King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to blow the trumpet. Everybody bow. At whatever time I blow it, you bow down. Dun da 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 da. Whatever the trumpet sound was, everybody bows. Three boys stand there. You better bow. Well, we ain't gonna bow. No, seriously, you better bow. The king will throw anybody that doesn't bow into a furnace that he's heated up seven times hotter than ever been heated up before. So actually, you really should think about bowing, guys. We're not gonna bow. My top five favorite verses, Daniel chapter 3. Our God can deliver us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing. I love that verse. So he does. Okay, fine. Chucks them into the fire. And there they are in the fire. And King Nebi, looks in the window. And by the way, the guy's chucking them into the fire. They fall over dead. They burn up. It's so hot. Literally, it's that hot. You ever been grilling and it's so hot, you're grilling a hamburger and all your hair singes? Men? Okay, yeah, it happens all the time, right? It smells great. These guys throw these three boys in there, and they die. They're dying. So then they look in, and Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and he says, we threw in three, right? Yeah, we threw in three. Well, how come I see four walking around in the fire, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods? It's because Jesus was in the fire. And do you know this? Listen, I know we all know the story, but did you know that Nebuchadnezzar had to order them out of the fire? Like, come out of the fire, guys. I'm ordering you, come out of the fire. This is the king, come out of the fire. And he had to order them to come out of the fire. Like, that's crazy. If I'm in the fire, I'm like, let me out. Not them, man. They're just wandering around, kicking it, high-fiving with the fourth dude. It's better to be in the fire if Jesus is in the fire, is the point. That's the point. Like, Peter, I think, is blown away by the faith of these folks. Gang, whatever we might go through in the next year or in the next 5 years or whatever, as believers, may we be those that we find our joy, we rejoice with unspeakable joy, full of glory in the midst even of the trials. But my tendency is to whine and complain and rub the magic lamp and ask the genie god of mine to come out and take me out of the trials. And maybe God's going, no, Michael, I need you smack dab in the trial. Why? Because when you're in the trial, dude, that's when you're closest to me. And actually, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Your proximity to me. Amen? Can you imagine that being your prayer? Lord, keep me in the fire continually if it means that I'll be able to see you clearly. God, keep me in the fire continually if it means I can see you clearly. That doesn't sound like a prayer I want to pray. Just being honest. Okay, let's go to verse 9. You guys all still here with me? Okay, so now we're going to dive back into verse to verse. Here we go. Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What's the goal, man? We live for eternity. The goal is that that we would spend forever and ever and ever with the Lord. Okay? We're being saved. Not just to go to heaven one day, by the way, but we're being saved today. The word salvation there is sozo. It's a word that means continuously saved. It's a very interesting word, sozo. But here's the idea. I'm saved today from the pollutants of the culture. I'm saved today from the distractions from my relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? I'm saved to definitely be in heaven with the Lord all the time. But also, God, the goal is to be walking with you, and you're keeping me from the distractions and the sins of this life. All right, let's keep going. Verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched, and they carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the spirit of Messiah within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Okay, what's being said here? Peter's saying this. What you guys are experiencing, even the prophets didn't have a grasp of. Like literally, we talked about this a couple Sundays ago. We talked about how they were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote things down, right? So we believe that. That's called inspiration, that God breathed. God told them what to write. But check this out. This is a weird idea, right? Literally, as they're writing things down, they don't even understand what they're writing. Do you see what I'm saying? They don't get it. The prophets literally wondered. And here's why. This is why I think they didn't understand. Because I think they were looking at two mountains, okay? I'm going to try to describe this to you. The first mountain that they see in the Old Testament scriptures is Mount Golgotha in one language, Hebrew. In the other, in Greek, it's Mount Calvary. So I think they looked ahead and they saw that. Isaiah 53, Psalm chapter 22. They see the suffering servant. They could see Messiah was going to be spit upon. He was going to be rejected. Like the, you know, like a cornerstone. They see all these things again and again. So much scripture they could see ahead at Mount Calvary. You with me? But then they would see what I'm going to call Mount Olivet. Some would say Olivier, but Olivet. What is Olivet? That's where Jesus is going to come back, and the Bible says his foot, when he returns, his foot is going to come resting on Mount Olivet. Okay, we're talking about the second coming. And when he comes, he's going to come as a conquering king. The Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands. The mountains will burst forth with joy. I mean, all these scriptures, Psalms chapter 2, most of the rest of the book of Isaiah, we see scripture after scripture pointing to this coming king, his coming kingdom. And I'm telling you, the prophets are right, and they're like, we don't get it. We don't understand it. We're seeing Calvary, this mountain, and we're seeing Mount Olivet. What they didn't understand was that in between these mountains is a valley. And that valley is about 2,000 years long. We're in it right now. Now follow me here. We know today, we look ahead and we understand Jesus came the first time as the suffering servant. I talked about it last week a little bit. The Jews call him Messiah ben Joseph. The Messiah that would come in the heart of Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, you know, thrown into the pit and forgotten for 3 years before he rose up and came second into command. And so they would liken that the Messiah is going to come as a suffering servant like Joseph. But then they also saw Messiah ben David, which was Messiah son of David, who would come as the conquering king. So many Jews believed that there was two Messiahs coming. As Christians, we understand there's only one Messiah, but he came twice, or he's going to come twice. Okay? So we see that. But what they didn't understand, and Peter's trying to get across, the prophets didn't understand. They saw this and they saw this, but they didn't understand that there's a valley, that there's some hard times. But you guys do. You get it. You're grasping it, and you haven't even seen it. It's amazing the faith that these guys have. This is the faith that you and I have to live in, because we're between the mountains too right now. Does it make sense? We all heard the story of Calvary. We could tell it to you by heart, teach it to Sunday school kids. We all know it. We're a little bit more iffy on the second mountain. We're not totally sure how that's going to go down. How can his foot land on Mount Olivet, but the Bible says that everybody will see him from east to west? That's weird. I don't understand that. Well, I don't know. Internet could be something to do with it. I have no idea. Televised. That would be cool, right? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm a little iffy on this mountain, but I do know this. In the middle, there's a valley. And the valley is being, this is where you and I must be those who persevere, who hang on, and don't give up. All right. Because these guys are reading it, they're like, how could he be spit upon? That doesn't make sense if he's the conquering king. All right, let's go to verse 12. It was revealed to them, Peter says, that they were not serving themselves but you, or future generations. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. That's Paul, that's John, that's James, that's Peter here. He said, you've heard this gospel, it's preaching to you through the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. He says, angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. That's a weird line. Angels long to catch a glimpse. The Greek word, I looked it up this week, catch a glimpse. It's used another time in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 24, when the disciples are running through the graveyard and they come to the empty tomb. And it says that they stopped and stooped and looked in. That's the word here that's used in this case. The angels literally are stooping down and looking at what? They're looking at you and me. Why are they looking at us? That's creeping me out a little bit. Why are these angels stooping down, interested in what? The prophets are wondering what's going on. The angels are interested in what's going on. We're living what's going on, and we're not even that excited about it. What is it? And here's what I think. This is what I came up with. I think the angels, first of all, I think they're stooping down and looking at us because they're blown away of the mercy and the grace that the Father is showing people like you and me. I think they're looking down and going, really? Michael Kraft? That dude? You're going to be gracious to him when he keeps doing such and such and he's such a mess up and a screw up. Really, you're going to be gracious to him? You know you got us here, Lord. Like, we're angels. We're pretty good at delivering messages. Remember Mary? Gabriel's like, yeah, I'm the one that delivered to Mary. I'm the one that told her, you're going to have a child. It's going to be groovy. Remember John the Baptist's dad? Gabriel's like, I told him too. Remember all the shepherds? And we were like, hark the herald angels sing. We heralded the message. Listen, we used to live in the age of angels, where God used angels all the time to show up and to pronounce and herald his message. We don't live in that age anymore. I hear stories every once in a while. Well, in Iran, some guy saw an angel and the angel gave him the gospel and he gave his life to the Lord. That's awesome. I'm not saying that that's not true, but more often than not today, we do not live in the age of angels. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. God has given us his Spirit to do what? To indwell us, and as Acts 1:8 says, empower us to be his witnesses.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage of 1 Peter that Pastor Michael discussed and use it to fuel your own conversations with the Lord. There's so much to learn from this New Testament book, and we're so glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today, as you were listening, you realized there's something missing, some piece of this life that doesn't really fit. Maybe it's time to learn more about Jesus and how he can radically transform your life. If that sounds like you, then take a moment right now to visit our website, thealpinechapel.com. Under the menu, you'll find a page called Something Missing, and it's going to fill in that gap. You'll find out all about who Jesus is and what his plans are for you and why you need him so much. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Would you let us know, too? We'd love the chance to talk with you more and answer any questions you may still have. Just head to the contact page at our website and send us a quick email. We also want to encourage you to get involved in a Bible-teaching church in your area. If your area happens to be Telluride, why not come join us this weekend at the Alpine Chapel? We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m., and we're easy to find. Visit thealpinechapel.com for directions. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. That officially brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in to Burning Hearts.